let's get into our Community Assistant League with Catherine, Sherry, and Joyce. Who would like to present an overview of what the Community Assistant League? And two people lifted their hands up and pointed to Joyce. So, as president,
I am honored to be here today. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate being here. The Community Assistance League has been in Sandpoint for going on, well, this summer will be 46 years.
46 years?
We are very proud to be an organization that gives back to the community as much as the community gives to us. The Community Assistance League, if people are not aware, is an organization, nonprofit, that operates an upscale resale store called Bazaar Bazaar, located at 114 South Boyer. And the proceeds go toward grants and scholarships in Bonner County. Over the years, we've given a lot of money, and I'll let other people give those wonderful totals of money that we've given away. But we have over 200 volunteers. We are an entirely volunteer organization that works tirelessly to make sure that we succeed, that we have great merchandise in the store. And the ladies that are with me here are just outstanding members that put in a lot of time. So we're very, very proud to be a part of this community, and thank you.
Now, you said the location of the store is on Boyer?
114 South Boyer.
Okay. It used to be near the Pie Hut, was it?
It did, and we moved last fall.
Which side of, let's start with a
place
I know.
We are right next to Smokesmith.
Smokesmith
Barbecue.
The barbecue place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Across from Dubs.
Oh, perfect. I was going to say, let's start with Dubs, and I can go from there. wonderful. So you have over 200 volunteers in the organization.
We do.
Okay. And can you tell us what you do with Bazaar Bazaar and the Community Assistance League?
So we elect officers every 2 years. And so I stepped into communications director. Is that an officer? It's a role. Anyway.
It's a title.
It's a title. And so I started doing that really in earnest in December, January. And so I'm in charge of getting us into newspapers, radios, and communication with the team.
Okay, and Sherry, you actually manage Bazaar Bazaar.
That is correct. I'm part of a team of three other ladies, and we have we just try to organize everybody, but generally, the running of the store is done by our team leaders.
The probably the biggest change, I'm guessing, at Cal in the last year, maybe in the last little while, is that move that you guys, it was last year, right?
It was all-encompassing. We got the building about 3 months before we moved into it. We spent that time remodeling. And then the actual move itself, you don't realize how many little pieces of things that we have at the store. But again, we put together a wonderful team that did painting, that did construction, that did moving. We had outside sources helping us as well, like Rotary, in our move.
What's the difference between the new building and the old? How does it compare? I don't know, in terms of size.
The floor space is a little bit smaller for the floor. We went for a different look in the store, more of an industrial look, but with bright colors. And we do have more storage space, which is nice because we have a lot of back stock. We don't turn down donations if they're out of season. We take them, we store them, and then we bring them out when the time is appropriate.
If someone is interested in donating, what does one do?
One comes to our store between 11 and 3, Monday through Saturday, and they just come in the front door, and we can help them bring their things in. They can bring them in themselves. We have little carts that help and make it easier. And we welcome most donations. We can't take furniture anymore because of the...
It takes space.
It takes way too much space, yes.
And what are hot items, you know, like that you see being wheeled in and you go, oh, that won't last more than a half a day. What are the really good sellers?
Oh, good housewares. We like interesting and different things, antiques. Those usually go pretty fast. Jewelry goes really fast.
Okay.
Women's and men's clothes go really fast. We've developed our craft department that it's an interactive department. We have people there that actually work with the customers who come in if they have questions about crafting things. And they know that Wednesday is the day to come in, bring your crafts, and interact with those ladies. So I would say clothing, women's clothing, men's clothing, and definitely...
How about children's clothing?
We do have children's clothing and toys.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even for big guys, we have toys, too.
And one more time, the hours and the days.
Our hours are 11 to 3, and that's Monday through Saturday. I know that Jack showed up one day just as we had closed.
Right,
it was such a shame.
It was sad. I know. Yeah. I made it in the next day.
I understand. What'd you buy?
I think this was around Christmas. I was looking for my outfit for the big Christmas show that KRFY put on. I think that jacket that I wore that night was a bizarre purchase from like the weekend earlier. Yeah. It's nice. I was looking for either red or green. I didn't find that, but it was sort of a goldish, a very sharp-looking jacket, I thought.
I'd like to ask Sherry, what's the most unique or bizarre, or among the most bizarre donations the business has received? Does anything come to mind?
We get some things that we'll pass it around whoever is working, and we'll go, what is this?
that's mm-hmm. got to be fun.
And once in a while, we have actually put something on a counter and said, if the customer can figure out what it is, they get a gift card.
What are some of the strange...
I'm trying to think. Well, we get a lot of strange things on occasion. I can't even come up with the strangest.
Well, I would think like housewares, you know, like kitchen items, you know, that maybe 50, 60 years ago that was quite and not being used now. But what fun.
I can tell you, think of one thing because I recognized it when it came in because I grew up with one. And so I ran around and I asked everybody, what do you think this is? And they go, I don't know. You know, maybe you dig up dirt with it or something. I go, no. It was flat with six prongs standing straight up. And it was, what do you think it was?
Flat? I mean, like a rectangular thing?
Rectangular thing with very thin spikes, about 4 inches tall.
Okay, I'm guessing a toast holder. Holding toast.
A little bit further spaced apart than that.
Oh, a muffin holder. A bagel holder.
It was for baked potatoes.
Whoa.
You skewer the baked potato and you bake it in an upright position. And my mom had one of those. So I felt good that I could recognize something.
Just an odd question. Why isn't that used anymore? You know, I would think that people are still baking potatoes and...
I don't know.
I don't have one. I'll admit,
I never knew that there was one, but I'd sure like to have one.
Yeah, now I think
can we you all call
next
me
time we are definitely. No problem.
wonderful.
Let's put it, make a note, Jim. I think we're looking right now for kind of KRFY swag that we should give out during our pledge drive or something like that. Instead of glassware. Baked potato holder. Could be the for the big KRFY donors. We could do that. We're talking to Catherine Larson, Sherry Warber, and Joyce Price from the Community Assistance League about Bizarre Bazaar. One last question about Bizarre Bazaar is what goes on in that back room there? I know there's one extra room. Is it a sewing room or it's cloth or?
That's like the craft room.
Craft room. Okay.
That is the craft room. Mm-hmm. In our back rooms is where we store things, where we process the stuff that comes in. Actually, it's kind of fun because when we get a big donation, everybody runs to the back room to see what's there. Like, oh, is this for my department? Or what can I do with this? Or let's get that out on the floor right away. Or, oh gosh, would you price that? Because I really need it. We have, there's a garage area where we have things like our decor and houseware. We have our children's stuff. We have a Christmas area. And we start getting our Christmas stuff right after Christmas. And our ladies have been working on it for this coming Christmas already. Pricing, cleaning, putting it away. We have an area for our out-of-season decor, such as Easter, which is coming up. And we have a lot of Easter goods, if that's what you like to decorate with for spring. And they'll be coming out in a couple of weeks. We have clothing and... I guess that's pretty much what we have, which is a lot.
Where do you like people to park? If I have, we have listeners who are customers right now. Where do you like them to park, and how do you like them to get into the parking area?
Oh dear.
This is the tough question.
This is the tough question. Yeah. Our official entrance is off of Boyer.
Okay.
It's right parallel to the pedestrian walkway.
Yes.
There is a solid line that divides the walkway from our driveway. Very few people use that because they get confused that it is part of the pedestrian walk, but that is our official driveway. You can also come in off of Pine Street and go through the parking lot for Smokesmith and go to the back. We have marked parking back there. It is somewhat limited. In the spring when the nursery reopens, it'll be a little bit more limited. But there's also street parking on Lake Street and on Pine.
Okay.
And on Division, right? There's a little bit of a parking lot right off of, I'm sorry, not Division, right off of Highway 2. There's a little area. That's where I usually park. I don't know if that's allowed.
Let's take we're with the members of the Community Assistance League, and let's take a music break, and then I'd like to come back and have Joyce talk about the money that is raised. What are some of the examples? We're going to play a song. It's only a couple minutes long because it's from the late 50s, 1959. On this date, the Drifters recorded this song that became a number one hit. See if you remember this.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. That was the Drifters, of course. And who doesn't remember that one?
Ben E. King. Ben E. King. And you know, your comment, that was a short one. Of course. You know, songs at that time tucked away between 2 minutes and 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And they'd come on, you'd play it, and move off.
That's right. So. Well, that's all they could fit on the birch bark that they were playing it off of, right?
Yeah. Come on. Okay. I'm not that old yet.
Okay. I usually do know the songs that you play. I've usually heard of them. I don't know if I knew There Goes My Baby. I know the Drifters a little bit. But yeah, sorry. Okay. I'm getting looks here. I'm getting strange looks in the studio. Yeah.
We've got a team over here who's looking at you rather. But we're here with Catherine Larson, Sherry Warber, and Joyce Price, and talking about the Community Assistant League. We talked about Bizarre Bazaar, and I'm sure that we'll go back to talk a little bit more about it. But I'd like to ask Joyce about where the money, the revenue that is raised, how does it return to the community? So if you could give some examples, that would be superb.
Thank you very much for the question. We have grants and scholarships every year that we give out to the community. For grants, the window is open right now through March 31st. Applications are available for grants through the store, Bizarre Bazaar, through the public libraries in Sandpoint, Clark Fork and Priest River, also at the Chamber of Commerce. You can pick up an application. The applications need to be filled out on paper and returned by March 31st. As far as the grant types that we provide, you know, there's like over 400 nonprofits in Bonner County. It's very hard to take a limited amount of money and be able to give back to as many of these people as we can because the need is so large in the community. Some of the examples of grants that we've given out, a lot of them go toward education for children in schools, school activities, food for the kids. Also, we have activities that are somewhat newer to the area, such as sailboats, sailboat rides through on Lake Ponderay for those for and also veteran type activities for veterans that need to have rehabilitation and cancer services. We have the food banks. So we have a number of organizations within the community that are very much in need and rely on grants for their existence. So we're very proud to be able to give back to those organizations.
Now, is it primarily, would it be an organization who applies for a grant or do individuals, can individuals apply for a grant?
It's got to be a 501c3.
Oh, it has to be a 501c3 organization in order to receive.
Yes.
Okay, monies rather. Is that the only kind of grant you have? How else, are there other ways that money is distributed in other areas?
Scholarships.
Well, through the scholarships.
Could you say a little bit more about the scholarship?
Absolutely. Scholarship window is also open right now until April 10th. And those applications are primarily available online through the Sandpoint High School website. Go through the counselor page. And those the standard application that most all places that provide scholarships use the same application. We appreciate the kids being able to provide their input as far as their financial need, where they plan to go to school. They need to write an essay. And we have a team that is very diligent about going through and finding out where those needs are so that we can best provide financial aid to these young people that are moving on.
So just a clarification on that, there are actually three different types of scholarships. One is for students that are graduating going straight to college. One is for you've gotten a scholarship before and you want to get another scholarship for a future year. And one is for delayed students who have been out of school at least a year. I think it's at least a year. Mm-hmm. And so we have people who've been out maybe for several years and are going back to school. And a lot of times it's maybe a trade school or a medical tech or something like that. So three different scholarships applications that they can find on that high school website.
And can it be also found on the Community Assistance League website?
Unfortunately, the scholarship application is not available through the Cal website. However, the grant application is
for the
available.
501c3s.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and what's the URL on the?
It is calsandpointaltogether.org.
Ah, okay, that's easy enough.
It is very easy.
Okay, and are both of these grants and scholarships open now until April 10th?
The grants are open until March 31st.
Okay, the end of this month.
Scholarships are available till April 10th.
Cool. Okay,
yes.
Excellent.
And over the years, we have records going back to about 2005. We've given well over $2 million back to the community.
Wow.
In grants and scholarships.
Yeah. This nonprofit radio station that you're listening to right now has received support.
And I'm looking at something.
I know. I'm looking at that too. I think we've got another Jim's microphone stand that's held together with duct tape and bailing wire.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to ask you a question about the history of it. You said it's Cal is 43 years old?
46 this year.
Oh, my gosh. 46. Do you know much about the origins of it?
I'm going to let Sherry tell you that story. She's got a great story to tell you.
It seems 46 years ago that there were three ladies sitting on the beach and trying to decide what to do to help the community. They were semi-retired, and they just felt the need to see what they could do for the community. And that was the birth of Cal. It was, they managed to get some like-minded ladies together. I don't know how big the first group was. It probably wasn't more than 20 ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a lot of, it was more activity that they did to help other people. They coordinated with POAC to develop an art program for the grade schools. They did a lot of fundraisers, like they made a cookbook with wonderful recipes in it. And if anybody wants one, I still have some at the store. Really good stuff.
That was a shameless plug, but go get one.
Come in and visit us.
Yeah.
They did an enchilada bake. They did a lot of different things. And then once a year, they had a big rummage sale at the community center downtown. In the 1990s, Joyce Spiller thought, we put a lot of work into this one day, and all the stuff that was available at the rummage sale was donated by members.
Mm.
And she went to the board and suggested that maybe it'd be a good idea to open a thrift store. And that was the birth of Bazaar.
Okay.
And at first, they didn't even think they could make the rent. And now, as Joyce said, we've given over $2 million during this time. In the last two grant cycles, we've given away over $150,000. So this dream that these ladies had on the beach has impacted Sandpoint and Bonner County in incredible ways.
Mm. There's something about three women getting together, because that's with the Panada, the Panada Moms. There were three women get together and change happens.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's wonderful. I see. Are you going to talk about that? There's a sheet of paper here.
That does not have anything to do with Community Assistance League, but it's something that I support quite heartily.
Well, this is your chance for the airwaves.
Okay. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Women Honoring Women, but it is a committee of ladies that feel that women over the age of 65 somehow sometimes disappear in spite of all the marvelous things they've done with their lives. And it doesn't have to be flashy or special. We're looking for nominees that are over 65, have shown in their lifetime the love of education and sharing that education to help mentor and sponsor other people, to take care of other people, to live their life in a really upstanding way and handle things with grace and dignity. Leadership is another really important skill, and there are a lot of ladies that fall through the crack on that. So what the committee is doing is asking for nominations. You can find, there's a nomination form at the library. They are at, we've scattered them throughout town, so you can look for one, or you can contact the Women of Wisdom website, which is womenhonoringwomen@gmail.com. And you can write a letter of recommendation for some woman that you think might deserve this. It's an amazing, amazing organization. And then in June, we'll have a big gala celebrating the nominees. We usually, the people who nominate ladies do not let the nominee know. So after we've voted on all the nomination letters that have come in, we get the pleasure of calling these ladies and telling them they've become a woman of wisdom.
Okay, and the deadline on that is May 1. And I'm just looking down here. Email womenhonoringwomen@gmail.com. Yes, Catherine.
So I just wanted to do a shout out to the department heads. You mentioned it early on that they really run the store. And I've just been astounded by these women who have come in. They have no background in this area. And they take such pride. They learn whole new skill sets in order to run the departments. They build teams. So it's really delightful to watch most of them women that are a little bit older and are coming up with a whole brand new way to explore life and build Bazaar and create the wealth there.
Well, it's sort of what I would think would be a great joyful event is you don't know what you're going to get being donated. And, oh, everybody, come over here, look at this. You know, that sort of thing. The you don't know what's going to come across your doorstep.
It's like Christmas.
Hmm?
It's like Christmas.
Yes, exactly. This is Joyce.
Quick comment. The CAL organization is not all about the store. We're a very social club. We also have a lot of gatherings of mostly ladies, though we do allow, we do have men members. So okay. Men can become members.
Okay.
And our applications are on our website, which I'll give you again in a moment. But we have people that get together in members' homes. They also get together in other public locations. And they play Mexican train, mahjong, poker. They have a number of events that they get together maybe every week, a couple mm-hmm. times a month maybe, and just socialize. So it's a lot of fun and a way for these people to get out and about and make new friends and make those connections with others.
It's a mini community.
It is.
Within the larger community.
It is. And again, our website is calsandpoint.org.
While you're at the microphone, Joyce, could you give an example or some examples of 501c3s that have received grants in the past? And does it have to be a specific need, like a new whatever that's duct tape, or is it just general?
The grant requests do need to be a specific request. And so you need to have a particular item or project in mind that you need to identify the amount, a specific amount that you're looking for. It would not go, excuse me, the funds would not go toward payment of salaries, for example, or, you know, hiring of services or something like that. For example, the senior center needed a new refrigerator because theirs went out. We were able to provide them the funds so they could buy a refrigerator.
Terrific, terrific.
Food bank needs to, they had a recent remodel. They needed to move some things around. So we are providing also, for example, I believe it's called Southside Elementary in
Southside
Elementary. Mm-hmm. They have a book program for mm-hmm. that they offer to kids where they give them free books to be able to read through the summer. And so they buy these books, and we were able to provide the funds for these books for these kids so that they could stay reading throughout the summer and come back to school the next year up and running again, so they didn't lose everything that they had before. And again, of course, food for the children is just a huge thing, to be able to provide meals for these children that may not get a meal other than through these services.
Is there a geographic, like, do they have to be those 501c3s that apply for a grant from Cal? Do they have to be in Bonner County or within Sandpoint, or is there a geographic region?
Bonner County.
Bonner County. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
You mentioned this is a social club, too. People get together. Members get together. Do you guys have any, like, kind of public-facing events? Any particular days that you want to see people come out and participate in Cal?
Well, we've got a couple of things coming up that mm-hmm. I'm going to have Catherine tell you about.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a monthly meeting, mm-hmm. and in our monthly meeting, we kick off with a business meeting. So we meet at 9 to 9:30 is get your coffee and snacks, and then we have a business mm-hmm. meeting from 9:30 to 10, and then at 10 o'clock, we bring in a speaker. March 19th, our speaker is Carrie Lee Noak, I think that's how you pronounce it, and she was a finalist on a loan. She mm-hmm. came in second. She has a wilderness school here in town. She's a fascinating woman. So she'll be speaking at 10 o'clock at Heartwood on March 19th. Then the third Wednesday of April, we have
Rachel
Jeffs, who is who wrote a book. She is actually she's the daughter of
Warren
Jeffs, the cult, and she wrote a book about getting out of the cult and escaping from the cult.
Oh, wow.
So she will be our speaker. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Lily, who Mitsui, who does the programming, has done an outstanding job of bringing in high-quality speakers.
Yeah.
So for both of those, we're actually having a larger area at the Heartwood Center so that we can accommodate the public. Public is welcome to come in. There is no charge. And so we would love to have people come and join us. Third Wednesday of every month, March is Carrie Lee. Nope. Mm-hmm. April is Rachel Jeffs.
Pretty cool. Both of those speakers are going to be fantastic. I didn't know that Rachel Jeffs was in our area. That's very interesting. I remember that, kind of when that story was coming out. That'll be an interesting talk. They both will be. I think we've had Carrie Lee on.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I think on the Tuesday morning show, she's been in here before. Let's see. Grant Cycle is open right now. Scholarships are open right now. Bazaar opens at 11 o'clock this morning. And the
Women of Wisdom Life Achievement Award, mm-hmm. applications through May 1.
Yeah.
Covered everything? Is there anything else that you'd like to say? I mean, this is your chance to shout out about Cal and the wonderful things that the organization is doing in the community. And let's go back to the Bazaar store. And one more time, the location and the hours and the days.
Bazaar is located at 114 South Boyer. That's on the north side of Highway 2 and behind Smokesmith. Our hours are 11 to 3, Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
And we realize that there's three kind of heroes that make Bazaar and Cal function. One of them is the people who bring donations to the store. One of them is the people who come in and staff the store. It's 100% volunteers. And so we've got this just magic group that keeps the store going. And then the people who come in and shop and bring that energy, and they're excited. And, you know, like Jack was talking about, you have a fancy thing you've got to go to, and you're going to buy something for one off. People come in. And one of the dresses we have was actually worn at John F. Kennedy's inauguration. So we've got, you know, fabulous little items you can find. So anyway, it's really a cycle of magic with these three different kinds of heroes that make it happen.
Could I add a fourth group of heroes? The three people sitting around our microphones right here, Catherine, Sherry, and Joyce. You know, with your dedication and your enthusiasm and your commitment not only to Cal but also to the North Idaho community, that's not to be overlooked, and that's to be honored and valued.
I have one last thing, a plug. We would love for each and every one of you to become a member of Cal. Our membership applications are available on our website, and that is calsandpoint.org.
Okay.
Applications are also available at the store. So when you come into shop, you can pick up an application.
There you go. Catherine, Sherry, Joyce, thank you also very much for coming down to the radio station. And, thank you for helping to make this community as incredible as it is.
Thank you, Jim. Jack. Pardon? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's always a joy. It's always a joy. We've got a John Lennon song because we've got Panada coming in next. On this date, March 6, 1973, John Lennon's visa application to the United States was canceled, and it had been granted to him only 5 days before. Very turbulent times for the artist. But this is a song that I dearly love, and I think it's so appropriate in this time, day and age. Instant Karma's gonna get ya. Here's John Lennon with the Plastic Ono Band.
KRFY, that was John Lennon. Instant Karma was that one. I forget the year that Jim said, but it was this is the anniversary of Lennon's visa being revoked. And Jim will be back in the studio in just a moment as he bids adieu to Catherine, Sherry, and Joyce from the Community Assistance League. And I bid, what's the opposite of adieu? Bonjour.
Hello.
to Rob Talbot. From the Panada Theater, Executive Director Rob Talbot, and it's getting busy again at the Panada, seems like. After
did it slow down?
Well, okay, good. Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. It seems like it's getting busier than it had been in, say, January.
Yeah, January and February tend to have a little bit of a slow, and January is kind of... is Banff, Seoul, and usually one POAC show, and that's... But we're picking back up. March is usually busy. And then we'll go hard until through June probably. But we've got some exciting stuff coming up, you know, as well that we're trying to balance out. We've got that the restoration of the southern wall or the northern wall inside the main room there. That's coming up. That'll take place between now and August, it seems. So we're taking the bids for that now, and that's been some exciting meetings. But so that and the looking at how to expand, getting deeper into the expansion of the ladies' restroom. So we're rolling over there. I tell you what.
Yes, lot coming up. Hey, did you go to the Warden's show, or did you? Okay. How did that turn out? That's the last thing we were talking about on a week ago.
It went great. That one and Gothard Sisters, between those two shows, I mean, I think we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 750 people in between those two shows.
Cool.
Gothard Sisters was, I think, 20 tickets sold out, 20, 30. And both shows, people were just walking out going, that was amazing. One of the best shows I've seen in a while. So, you know, it's great when people walk out like that. And I love being at the Panada because we get to work with people like POAC and other local organizations to bring in this stuff. So there's a lot of good entertainment that comes by that. And the Panada staff doesn't have to do all the work.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to put on as many events as happen at the Panada, that's about the only way you can do it, really.
Yeah. Coming up tonight, we got an event at the Little Theater, and this is also, you tune in to KRFY at 2 p.m. if you want to hear a little preview of it. Madeline Hawthorne. What can you tell us about Madeline Hawthorne?
So Madeline I've been working with her through Maddox Farm for a long time, and it's been really cool to see her development as an artist. She was part of Hawthorne Roots, which was a... They were a six piece fronted by her and her sister, and they played places like the 219. They played Jack Frost Fest 1 year. I think they played Summerfest 1 year. Kind of a high energy, a little more kind of funk rock, a little bit of roots in there too. But now she's playing under her own name. And she's got a four-piece, she calls it Rocky Mountain Country, which is kind of a roots. There's a little bit of rock in there. There's a little bit of country. There's a little bit of blues, a little bit of everything that a Montana girl might come across.
She's going to come in here to KRFY Studios at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And
awesome.
Supplement Otto's Eclectic Mix a little bit. So if you're listening now and you want to hear that, tune back in.
She is just I've worked with her. She's played Fall Fest, Wine Fest as well. And I've worked with her because Maddox Farm does a production up there. And she's just a phenomenal person, a great singer, songwriter, a great vocalist. She has a phenomenal band with her. And if you haven't seen been in the little theater for a concert, this will be a great opportunity to come see how cool that space is. But I'm going to tell you, you better hurry up and get those tickets because it's going to be real close to selling out if it doesn't sell out. Mm-hmm. So.
And what time tonight?
Show starts at 7:30 with Kevin Doran. So Kevin Doran is opening up for her, which is, if you know music in Sandpoint, you know Kevin, another phenomenal singer-songwriter that has kind of moved on. He's living out on the west coast of on the coast of Oregon in that area now, trying to pursue his music dreams and play out a little bit more and tour a little bit more. But he's coming back for this show because he loves what Madeline's been doing. Madeline Hawthorne's been doing, so he's coming back just to play this show basically.
And the show begins at 7:30. When do the doors open?
Doors open at 6:30.
6:30. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So come into the little theater. So for those of you that haven't been there, we'll have signs up for you at the front door of the main theater. You'll just go left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll take your first right. Basically after you pass the,
or head north.
Head north.
Head north. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got more coming up this weekend. What else is going on at the Panda?
So that is it for the doings this weekend. And I'm going to take advantage of it and get out of town and go skiing a little bit.
Cool.
but we do have our board meeting usually is on the first Thursday. Since we have Madeline in the little theater on the first Thursday this month, that board meeting will be next week. We also have the fly fishing film tour as on next Friday, the 14th. And then on Saturday, the 15th, we have No Man's Land Film Festival.
Yeah.
And that's coming back. That was a really big hit in 23 when they did it. They didn't do it last year.
Mm-hmm.
But excited to have them back again this year. And both of those, actually, fly fishing and No Man's Land, are selling really well, and expect to have a good crowd for both of those. So look forward to seeing everybody down there for those two shows.
We're going to try and squeeze the proceeds from No Man's Land Film Festival go to the Ethan Murray Fund. We're going to try and see if we can get Justine in here for at least a few minutes next week. And then we're also scheduled to talk soon to someone from the Scotch and Peaks Wild and Scenic Film Festival.
Yep.
And that comes up later on in this month.
Yeah, we got to have a busy month with that. And Quiet Man, The Quiet Man, which is is a classic.
Okay.
That'll be on March 16th.
Uh-huh.
Starring John Wayne and Marlene O'Hara.
Does that still have the longest fist fight in movie history?
I believe so. Yeah.
It did hold that record for a while.
Yeah, it's a pretty entertaining.
Second game. Only to Rocky. No,
yeah.
No, they have gloves on in Rocky, so that wouldn't count.
Yeah. yeah. This is going to be a good fun month. Things picking up at the Panda.
Yeah, and you know, and I'll there's a couple events we have a little further out that I want to let people know about so they can start planning. The first one as it comes through is Andy Gross. He's returning. He is a comedian, illusionist, magician. Really, really amazing stage presence and some pretty phenomenal tricks that just blow your mind. If you like David Da Vinci, or if you came and saw Andy Gross last summer, we had a really good crowd for him in August last year. We look forward to doing that again, having another packed up Panda house for him. And that is Friday, April the 11th. And those tickets are on sale now at panda.org/events. Then looking a little further out, we have Jim Messina on Thursday, May 1st. Mm-hmm. That one, we have less than 100 tickets available right now.
Yeah.
So go get those tickets, get your space, and come hang out and have a good time with Jim Messina.
Tune in back here at 2 o'clock to hear Madeline Hawthorne live in the studio. And then she's playing tonight at the Little Panda Theater. And, well, anything else before we sign off?
I'd be amiss if I didn't throw out the Panda's first Mother's Day gala.
Oh!
Panda's mom red carpet gala.
Okay.
And we've got this out now. It's public. We've been talking about it amongst the circles. We talked about it a little bit at our birthday dinner last year. But this is going to be a really special event. For those of you that don't know, there were three ladies that basically saved the Panda back in 1985. And if it weren't for those three and their fundraising efforts, the Panda may be a pile of dirt or a hole in the ground, like a block or two down to the south. So in honor of them, we decided to have a gala on Mother's Day, the Friday of Mother's Day weekend. And it is going to be in the spirit of Holly's Eve, which was a fundraiser that the Panda did a while ago. That is basically the standpoint throwing a party for itself and showing off what the Panda can do. The show itself will be a variety show that you have probably never seen, the likes you've never seen before. From comedy to skits to film to live music to magicians, it'll be everything. So go ahead and make plans Friday, May 9th to come down and support the Panda. We're going to have live auctions, silent auctions, paddle raises, the whole thing. We're really excited to get some projects going, like redoing the seats up, the love seats upstairs, and the green room, getting that to where we can have people like Jim Messina and not be, be proud to host them and give them a space where they can get ready for the shows, stage lights, things like that. So make plans to join us Friday, May 9th, and let's raise a toast to the Panda.
Friday, May 9th.
And the Panda moms who saved it.
Okay. That's exciting. We'll talk more about that in the future. Also coming up this weekend, Dance Madness out at Sandpoint High School. To support a fundraiser at the Sandpoint High School dance team. And it is the Follies adjacent show at the Hive, a big musical event. Not quite the Follies, but the Queen of Ireland will be there at least emceeing the show. And you're encouraged to dress as your favorite movie star or character, or wear your favorite Follies costume. And on March 15th, I will say right now, on March 15th, KRFY expects to broadcast the town hall that our representatives Mark Sauter and Jim Woodward are going to be holding. We don't yet know the venue for that. I think they're expecting a good turnout. So they're looking for something that can hold a capacity crowd. But if you can't make it in person, you can tune in and hear it live. That's next Saturday, the 15th, here on KRFY. It's time for Bird Note, I guess, huh?
We'll probably have some irate. By the way, speaking of birds, robins are coming back and just attacking our mountain ash trees in the backyard. Picking the berries off and probably getting inebriated because, those little berries. But robins are back in droves.
Okay. That's a good update.
Update from our backyard.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's not a good sign for those of us that love the snow.
Yeah. Go up higher. Higher.
get it while you can, Rob. I think old man winter's on his way out.
Yeah.
That's my suspicion. Okay. Here we go. Thanks for listening to the morning show on 88.5.